supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Time is running short for the good work done by the Rosetta spacecraft. Let's learn the latest with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, the Rosetta has been cozy with a comet for a long time now.
It's been a really wonderful story, Dave. You know, this started out really 10 years ago when the spacecraft was launched from Earth to head out to rendezvous with a comet. And the intention was that the spacecraft would arrive at the comet, go into an orbit, and then drop a lander on the surface. And it would be probably the first time we ever had an actual lander sitting on the surface doing science experiments to figure out more about the physics of comet nuclei. Everything went according to plan until we got to the landing part about 2.5 years ago. And the intention was that when the lander, about the size of a washing machine, landed on the surface, its landing legs would shoot attachment bolts into the surface and would sort of pull itself down onto the surface. Well, as it turns out, the spacecraft did not land with as much force as was originally expected. So what happened was it bounced. And the first bounce off the surface took it up to about 0.5 miles above the surface of the comet. And then it slowly came back down again, bounced again, not quite as high, and then finally landed the third time, but in a really odd and strange location. Just recently, within the last 2 weeks, that location was actually discovered, and it was found tilted on its side and wedged in sort of a cavern-like space under an overhanging cliff. This really limited the kind of radio communication it could have with the orbiting parent spacecraft Rosetta, and it also precluded any possibility that its backup batteries could be charged using its solar panels.
In its simplest sense, a comet is described as a dirty snowball. What more have we learned about this particular one?
So here now we can see this frozen snowball with dust scattered all over the surface, but it looks like a rock-strewn tiny planetary surface, and in this case, a very odd-looking planet because the planet is made of two lobes. In fact, some would liken this to look very much like the rubber ducky you find in some people's bathtubs. You know, the large bulbous portion that's a body, and then sitting on top of that, a smaller bulbous piece that would be the head. And that alone makes it an unusual find because the question then becomes, was it formed this way? Did these two pieces join together? How is it that they're held together? What's the integrity of the comet nucleus itself? Is it solid? Is it loosely agglomerated clumps of ice and dust all mixed in together? And what kind of chemical composition do we find here? And the landing spacecraft Philae, as it was known, actually did identify a number of organic molecules down close to the surface, like right on the surface, and even just above the surface.
If comets could be scooped up collectively with a sieve as an aggregate, would they weigh as much as planet Earth?
Well, there are probably millions of these objects out in what's called the Oort cloud. And the Oort cloud is this shell of material that completely encloses, encompasses our whole solar system, but out at a tremendous distance from the sun, right at the sun's almost limit of gravitational pull. And it is surmised that these comets that we see are disturbed from their sort of floating positions in this shell that surrounds us. And the gravitational pull of the sun then pulls them in toward the center of our solar system, where the sun then excites the outer surfaces, creates the coma that we see around the nucleus, and then that turns into the tail that we see, all those sorts of things. But if we could collect them all, it's possible it could come to something like that. The number of them is so high. But the most intriguing thing about them is the question of whether the frozen gases include enough hydrogen and oxygen that comets could be seen as a delivery mechanism for water being brought to inner planets of the solar system like Earth.
Now we're getting into the sci-fi aspects of what this could portend.
Well, you know, it really gets into the sci-fi when you start to think about the possibilities of going out to maybe grab a comet to do something with a nucleus, to push it around, to use it as a water source in space somehow. That's really the science fiction part. But we know that they carry materials from the early history of the solar system, so we can look at them as refrigerators or deep freezes, if you will, of the conditions of the early solar system. So that makes them valuable to study as well.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.